Thank you so much for joining us today at our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in five different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
And I'm very excited to preach this message to you today. And I'm praying for the supernatural hearing for you, whether you're live here in person, or I call it the supernatural hearing. That's where the sound waves that come out of my mouth are going to go to you, and the Holy Spirit's going to move them. So you hear His voice. You don't hear mine. You hear Him. And that though we can all be in one room and you could all be listening to the same thing, how God can make sure something's highlighted just for your heart today. And I pray that you'll be open, your heart is open, you're ready to receive. Are you ready to receive the word today? You go, bring it on, Pastor Yu. And so I'm excited to share with you today. So we're gonna jump into the message today. And I wanna just, how many of you, COVID-19, this has been a crazy season. It's just been crazy, hasn't it? It's weird. If you're wondering, if you're feeling that, the anxiety, the anxiousness, what's happening, what's going on, I want you to know that everybody feels that in some form or fashion. There is something that will never move. Like when winds are coming, waves are coming, and you just go, where do I go? There is a rock that is solid that you can run to and stand on, and you don't have to worry about what's going to happen. God's still on the throne. There is comfort in knowing that nothing comes to us that doesn't first pass through the hand of God. And that in these times of unrest and lack of peace, it is good to know that my God, that I would call, not only is he peaceful, in fact, he is the Prince of Peace, and that I can run to him and stay in him. And while I do that, it does settle things down. That means that you can go to sleep at night knowing you don't have to have a NyQuil. I call that a Christian cocktail. Some of you will get that later. Anyway, you go, no, I'm at peace. I know what I'm watching, but I can still be at peace. And I want to talk to you. I want to just kind of do some teaching and preaching today if I can. I want to give you, I don't know if during COVID-19, is there any puzzle people that put like puzzles, you know, 500 piece, 600 piece. Do we have any puzzle people in the room today? Would you just raise your hand if you're a puzzle person? Okay, we got like one. How many of you have ever put together a puzzle? Let me see your hand. Okay, all right, there you go. All right, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but what you do when you put a puzzle together, it's important that picture that's on the box, that you put it right there so you can reference the big picture so that the little pieces of the big picture make sense when you put it together. Could you imagine trying to put a 500-piece puzzle together without looking at the big picture? Nothing would make sense. You wouldn't have any clue to how to put the pieces together. So you gotta stay focused on the big picture. And I appreciate Dr. Scott Adams, our resident theologian here at Our Savior's Church, is the one who taught us this. And I want to just teach it to you. I want to teach you the big picture of this book. It's important because if you don't see the big picture, then when you come down to your little puzzle piece and your life, you're going to try to figure it out without looking at the big picture. And so let me just lay out what this book is all about, give you the big picture of this book. So when you read it, the pieces start fitting together better because you have an understanding of what the big picture is. Everybody tracking with me so far? Just kind of wave at me if you are. So let me help you with the big picture. This is really a story about four things. It is about the creation of the world and man. It's also about the fall of man. It's how God built it and put it together, and it's also about how God messed it up. And man has. And so have you. I'll talk about you in a moment. How God put it together, the creation of it, and then the fall of man. And then the redemption of man. how God's going to redeem it, and then lastly, the restoration of all things. So let me just list those four again so you can read them with me. So it's about creation, one. Everybody say creation. Then it's about the fall of man. Then it's about God redeeming man, redemption. And then fourthly, it's about the restoration of all things. And I want to talk to you about those four things today. And I want to give you some examples so that you'll kind of get this in your mind. So when you read this book, just so you'll go, Pastor, you. In fact, if you have if you have your real Bible, you might want to write that down in the cover. Can y'all put those four things up again? It's about the creation, it's about the fall, it's about the redemption, and it's about the restoration. In fact, if I was going to take you to the creation, point one, I would just have to take you to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, chapter 1 and 2. That's about the creation. It's only two chapters. It's not even a book. It's just about two chapters. The creation of man. God creates the earth in 6 days and rests on the seventh. It's found in Genesis 1 and 2. It'll take you 4 minutes to read it. And you go, Pastor Eugene, what about the last one about the restoration of all things? Well, all I would have to do is go to the book of Revelation and look at the last two chapters of the book of Revelation. Can I give you a preview of what it's going to look like? You want a preview of the restoration? In fact, let me read this. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 7. Then I saw a new heaven, John wrote, and this is going to be great. God's actually going to redo an extreme home makeover on the entire earth. It's going to be awesome. Old heaven and the old earth have disappeared. The sea was also gone, and I saw a holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed, dressed for her husband. Watch this. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. I love this part. Listen, he will wipe away every tear from their eye and there will be no more death. Can you say amen? Or sorrow? Amen. Or crying? Amen. Or pain? All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything. Everything's going to be new. And then he said to me, write this down, for I tell you, this is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha, Omega, beginning, the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely the springs of water of life. All who are victorious will inherit these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. That's what it's coming to. That's the complete restoration. That's eternity. That's heaven. That's where, if you're redeemed in this room, that's where you're going to be. I'll see you there. I'm going to be there. I will be there. Some of you think you're going to be there and you won't. Some of you think there's people in the room that ain't going to be there and will. I'm trying. So what am I saying to you? Okay, so you got creation is the first two pages. Complete restoration is the last two pages. And then look right here. Everything in between is about falling and redeeming. It is the story of man that we fall and he comes and he redeems and begins the restoration in us. The completion of restoration is when we die and go to heaven. It would be completely restored then. But it's about the fall, the redemption, and part of the restoration of all of our lives. That's what this entire book is about. So if you've ever opened a portion of it and went, I don't really understand that. Guess where it falls? It's about the fall, or it's about the redeeming, or it's about the restoring that God is doing in someone's life. I'll give Israel as our shining example, God's people in the Old Testament. God began a nation of people, much like America that was born. There were some pilgrims who came over and a nation was born. God was looking because he wanted to start a nation, and he found a man named Abram or Abraham. And he found him. And by the way, it says God chose him because here was a man who led his household well. In other words, He had it going on. He ran a tight ship, had a good household, and God gave him a promise: your descendants will outnumber the stars of the sky and the sands of the seashore. And then he would say, and everybody who blesses you will be blessed, and everybody who curses you will be cursed. In fact, I'm going to raise you up to be such a nation that all nations will be blessed because of you. By the way, I want you to know, in the spirit, that same promise that was given to Abraham now goes all the way through the Old Testament, through the New Testament, to the day that you got born again, you became part of that nation. That is the father of our faith, Abraham. And the same promise that God gave to Abraham is the same promise he still holds true to us today. Those who bless you will be blessed. Those who curse you will be cursed. That's why you ain't got to get them back. God will get them back. Yeah, you don't have to. If they bless you, they'll be blessed. If they curse you, they'll be cursed. Are y'all checking with me? It's still the promise. And so he gives his promise. So there's a creation of a family. He can't have a child. He's 99. His wife is 90. I don't know if you have grandparents that are that old. That would be pretty supernatural if grandma told you, I'm pregnant. Well, that's what happened. And they have a child. His name is Isaac. Isaac, then Jacob. Jacob, then Joseph. Jacob and the 12 tribes, the 12 sons, 12 Israel. Then you see the creation of a nation. Then you see the fall of a nation. Then you see them in captivity for 400 years in Egypt, all of Israel. Over 2 million of them. And then you're going to see, so you got the creation, then you got a fall, and then you're going to have the redemption. Remember, there's going to be a man named Moses. He's going to come on the scene. He's coming into the movie. It's his part. He comes into the program. He's got a trick stick. Remember? And Moses is going to come and tell Pharaoh, hey, Egypt, let all these Jews go. They need to go. They need to leave. I've come here to take them away from you. And he won't. And remember, there's, how many of y'all saw the movie, The Prince of Egypt? Or you saw Charlton Heston? Or how many, I'm really old, so I... Ten Commandments, yeah, that's the name of it. And he's going to say, no, let him go. And there's these plagues, and Pharaoh won't let him go until the last plague. There's this last plague when he warns him, hey, listen, a death angel is going to come through all of Egypt, and if you don't let us go, this death angel is going to come through Egypt, and every firstborn of every family is going to die. Not only is every firstborn, every firstborn male of your livestock will die also as a sign that God is God and you need to let the people go. And he went to the Jews, he went to Israel and some Egyptians and said to them, listen, death angel's coming. I want you to go to your flock. I want you to get a spotless lamb. And I want you to take that spotless lamb and I want you to sacrifice it. And I want you to take the blood of the lamb. I want you to take the blood of the lamb. I want you to take the blood of the lamb. And I want you to put it over the doorpost of your home. Get inside. When the death angel comes through, every home that has the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, the death angel will pass. It's going to pass over that house. And nobody will be hurt inside of it. And so that's exactly what happened. The Jews put the blood from the spotless lamb over the doorpost of life. The death angel comes in. It passes over. Guess what? The firstborn of Pharaoh dies. And now he finally says, you can let the people go. We call that redeeming, redemption. It was bought back with blood. The blood of a lamb bought, redeemed, paid for Israel to get out of Egypt. And the first place they go is they're at a Red Sea. If you saw the movie, you remember the trick stick. He sticks it into the water and the water parts and 2 million Jews go through it on dry land. That is the water of baptism, the world's largest baptism all in one day. 2 million folks are baptized. It is the redemption of man. So what? Remember, big picture, the creation, the fall, the redemption, and then the restoration. Everybody stay with me. Everybody's tracking with me so far. Let me just tell you about the restoration. Then God is going to take these same Jews who've been redeemed, baptized. Now he's about to take them into a wilderness. Wilderness was part of the process that God wanted to take Israel through. It was there. Things like this would happen in the wilderness. They didn't have food, 2 million Jews. I mean, there wasn't any restaurants. There wasn't any food trucks. And then how are you going to feed them? And God would show them, he'd go, look, each day you walk out and you're going to find that manna, bread, is actually going to fall from heaven and be on the ground every morning when you go out. It'll be there for you. And you can gather it just for the day. Anything they gathered over for the day to try to store for the next day, by the time they woke up, it was already rotten. He was teaching them along the way. Look, bread, you're going to need fresh bread every day. You're going to need fresh bread every day. You're going to need it. You're going to go out, you're going to get it. You're going to gather it. You're going to go gather it, and it'll feed you. He was teaching them already that the bread of life, the word of God, you got to go get it every single day. It'll feed you. It's brand new every single morning. The mercies of the Lord are new every single day. Y'all tracking with me? Yeah, he's. Someone once said that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So God's already training his people. I could trust in God. I don't have to worry about food because I can go out every day and it'll be there. He was teaching them that. They got thirsty. We're thirsty, Moses. And he would, remember, he tapped the rock, and out of it came water, and they drank from a rock, teaching us already, revealing to us that there's going to be one, a rock, the rock of our salvation is going to, that you'll drink from him and never thirst again. He's teaching us already in the Old Testament, already about restoration. He's restoring. They were in the desert. Have you ever been in the desert? It's hot. And so he put a cloud over them during the daytime. He caused there, it was a cloudy day, he put one right over them. And he said, if the cloud move, you move. Teaching them to trust the Lord, to follow him. At night, I don't know if you've been in the desert at night. It ain't hot at night. It's cold. And at night, a pillar of fire would show up to keep them warm. And if the pillar left, then they would follow the pillar. He's restoring them. He's strengthening them. He's building faith and trust. He's helping them. They're getting stronger in their faith because he's preparing them for something. It's called a promised land. They weren't ready. They were redeemed, but they weren't ready for the complete restoration until they get to the promised land. It was a process that they had to walk. Everybody say the process. Yeah, Nick Saban. I know, I don't really. You get in trouble mentioning Nick Saban on a Sunday morning. LSU won yesterday. Can I get an amen? Oh, it's like COVID-19. Who cares, all right? Nick Saban would say, trust the process. Trust the process. Say that with me. Trust the process. Is it possible that God has a process that he'll take every one of us through? Now, I'm showing you the big picture. I'm showing you Israel as an illustration, but now I want to talk about you and me. I want to talk to you, because if you see the big picture, then you may even be able to see how God applies that same big picture to your life and to mine. That there is the creation of you. You're here. We know you were supposed to be here. Your mom and daddy may have told you you were an accident. I want to tell you you're not an accident. God already knew you. He already wanted you here. In fact, he chose the time that you would be born. He already knew you. You were already in existence before you got here. This is not your home. That's your home. You were already there before you got here, though you don't remember there. In fact, I can show it to you in Scripture. And so your parents told you you were an accident, but you're not. There's no accidental children. There's only accidental parents. That's what they should be telling you. You got here. You're supposed to be here, but we're accidental parents. We didn't intend for this to happen, but it happened. And then they're going, I don't know how it happened. I know how it happened. Come see me after. I'll tell you. No, I'm teasing. I won't. Don't come see me after and go, how did it happen? Watch this. Let me take you to Psalms 139, 13 through 16. David writing, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was even born. Every day of my life was already recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. You're supposed to be here, not just on earth, but you're supposed to be here today where you're sitting. It's like it was ordained. Watching at home, you're tuned in today. Today's the day that God intended for it to be. I'm looking around the room. I know some of your stories. And you go, how did I get here? God wanted you here. He already planned. He created it. He created you. Praise God. Look at the neighbor. Just say, he did real good. Just go ahead and tell him. I got some bad news, though. But then there's the fall. Let's get real honest in the room. You're a sinner. You're not that good. You got to grasp that a little bit. You got to grasp it and go, I remember the day I was so convicted by God that I just couldn't help but say, God, please save me. When it's almost he showed me my whole life before my very eyes, and some of them were even secret thoughts that you had. Not what you did in the sin of committed. Some of it was even the sin of omission, of what you didn't do when you knew you were supposed to do it. Because a lot of us will go, I never did that. No, it's I know you never did that, but you never did something that you were supposed to be doing. And so we watch it. We watched Moses in the Old Testament come down from the mountain with 10 commandments to give to the people, because not only did he want to teach them to trust God, that they could walk with God, that they could believe in God, but he also wanted to come and say, now here's God's word. There's 10 of them. Now you have to learn how to obey God. Like you've got to obey him. Here's the 10. Would you obey him? And you go, oh, 10. Now, I don't know about you. Go, how could they not obey the 10? Well, you could read the story and go, all they had to do was keep God first, not lie, quit sleeping with people that ain't theirs. I mean, how hard can it be? Don't create some graven image and worship it. Quit coveting what your neighbor has when you his bass boat because you just have a little John boat. Quit doing all that. That's all they had to do. So he had to teach them how to obey. So he gives them commandments to obey. Hey, now we get into the fall of man. I don't know about you, but I can't keep those 10 commandments. Quit acting all holy because you can't keep them either. In fact, Jesus would even add to them in the New Testament and say to you, husbands, you ain't never cheated on my wife. I know, but Jesus said, if you look on a woman and lust after her in your heart, you didn't commit anything, you just would have if you could have. I'm trying. He said, you've committed the sin of adultery. And I know girls go, yeah. No, girls, if you look at a guy and lust after him in your heart, you've done the same sin, you've committed it. Listen, watching what we're watching in our world right now, and you look at it and you go, what is that? It's the Democrats. No, it ain't. It's the devil. It's the Republicans. No, it's demonic. You look at it on the streets. You watch it happening. I'm going to preach a message coming in the future about some other stuff that you need to hear about all this. I'm telling you, you're watching it happen. I'm gonna help you see what's happening. And you're watching it on, and you're going, man, the hatred, and it is hatred. The scripture says, thou shalt not murder. I don't think anybody has been a murderer in here, and if you have, do not raise your hand. But the Bible says, thou shalt not murder. I think 99.9% of us in here say, I've never murdered anybody. But Jesus added to it and said, but if you hate your brother, it's as the sin of murder. Why? Why would he say that? Because the only reason why you haven't acted on your hatred is because you know there's a punishment if you do. So you haven't committed the murder. You would if you could. You'd just get them out of the way if you could, but you haven't because something's restraining you. It's called the law and the punishment for breaking that law, right? It's the only deterrent, is there has to be a penalty to it. Well, listen to me. If the Ten Commandments is the greatest law of all, if this book is the greatest law of all, then to make a deterrent for it, it has to have an incredible punishment. There is a punishment for it. The scripture is clear. It says we've all sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. If the Ten Commandments were the standard, and I said, who's guilty? Stand up. Every one of you should stand up. If you didn't stand up, you would be lying, which makes you guilty, and you need to go ahead and stand up anyway. Is everybody in here guilty? Yes. Then the scripture also says, because you break that law, it has a price. The wages, we'll put it up here, of sin is death. Now look at me right here. That doesn't mean there's a death penalty and we should kill you. What it means is there's an eternal punishment. It will last for eternity. It will lock you up and you can never get out. There's only two places to go after this death that the scripture's clear on. I know you might have been taught there's a third. There's not. Either you'll spend eternity with God in a place called heaven, or you'll spend eternity in the alternative. It is a place called hell. And you can say whatever you want. How would God who loved people ever send anybody there? He doesn't send you there. You choose which place you want to go. By the way, if you're in the room today, you're now enlightened with that, and you've got a choice to make. So there is a punishment. So we've got this law that God has given us that all of us said we can't live that law. And I'll tell you why in just a second. I haven't kept them. So here's my fall. I've fallen and I can't get up. I made that up just now. Somebody should do a commercial. It's the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. Let me take you to Romans chapter 2. This verse just watch this. Do the riches of his extraordinary kindness make you take him for granted and despise him? The goodness of God. Haven't you experienced how kind and understanding he has been to you? Don't mistake, lean in. Don't mistake his tolerance for acceptance. What am I saying? Hey, you can shack up. Nothing bad's happened to me yet. And because nothing's happened to me yet, it must be okay. Watch what the scripture says. Do you realize that all the wealth of his extravagant kindness is meant to your heart to lead you into repentance. Everybody look right here. Here's what God will do. He will be kind to you and good to you to get you to a place where you go, this must be God. I want to give God all the praise and I want to give my life to him because he's so good, been so good to me. If he doesn't get your attention that way, then he'll remove those blessings and kindness from you and let you pay for the decisions that you've made. And then you'll have to reap the consequences of that, and that will turn you to him. You just got to decide which way you're going to turn your life over to God. Is it because of his goodness, or is it going to be because he's let you have the wrath of your own decisions? Watch this. He goes on to say, but because of your calloused heart and refusal to change direction, you are piling up. I'm warning you. You're in the room. I'm warning you. Warning. A day will come when you thought because nothing happened to me, I got away with it. No, that's been the kindness of God getting you to turn your heart towards him. And if you don't, he'll say, have it your way. And when it does come, we'll still be there to love you and encourage you and help you get back up again. It's called the fall. And everybody falls. We all fall. We all are short of that standard of which he set. You're piling up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment is revealed. We're watching it on our television screens every night. We're watching the gavel of God declaring judgment and fixing to hit the gavel if we don't turn towards him now. The creation, the fall, the redemption. I won't leave you with bad news because there's good news. The good news is found where Jesus is going to enter into this story, and he's going to do something for us that we could never do for ourselves. These commandments that we could not follow, I don't even think God gave them to us so that we would follow them. I think we should try to follow them. I think they're incredible. We ought to try to follow the commands of God, but he didn't give them to us because he knew we would follow them. He knew that we would follow them and that we couldn't, so that we would see our need, that we were guilty, that we were going to need a redeemer, someone who would pay the penalty for us because we're in jail and we can't get out. And we got to have somebody come bail us out. So he sends his own son. Look at me right here. I got a son. You saw him. He prayed today. I'm proud of him. Hey, if this place was on fire, I think I would get everybody out. I think I would be the last one in. I think that. I hope we never have to put that to the test. But if the place caught on fire and we started going to emergency exits, go. How many of you think you'd be the last one? You know, no, Pastor, you go. No, you go. Me and Ami be up here going, you go. No, you go. You go. We both burned up and died. We could, one of us could have got out. You go, what? But how many of you know I wouldn't do that for my son? Now, I'd make sure my son got out and Heidi and my two daughters. But anyway, like, because I love you, but I just love them just a little bit more. I'm just being honest. You'd want to make sure they'd not run back in. What? God so loved you that he sent his only son to die for you. He gave up his son's life so you could live. What a God. It's called, yeah. Watch what it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21. Come help me, Vic. Vic's going to help me out. We're going to close here in a minute. 2 Corinthians 5:21, watch this. For God made Christ, who never sinned. The only one who kept all 10, every one of them, who never sinned, to be the offering for sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. I call this the great exchange. I go, Father, would you please forgive me? And I give him my sin. Would you, here, take my sin. I've lied, I've cheated, I've lusted, I've done this. Would you please forgive me? And God says, I will. And then he gives me in exchange the righteousness of Christ, the robe. I get to put on the righteousness of Christ, that I'm right with God, right standing with God. Not because of anything I've done, because of what he's already done. So I can stand here today right with God to everything that I know in my heart. The Holy Spirit hasn't convicted me. Now I had to pray on the way here and repent of a few things. But other than that, I'm right with God standing before you. Isn't that amazing? You can be right with God. Watch what he goes on to say. The Son radiates God's glory, Hebrews 1:3, and expresses the very character of God. If you want to know what God's like, look at Jesus. That's what he's saying. Look, you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. And when he had cleansed us from our sins, redemption, creation, fall, redemption, and when he cleansed us from our sins, I love this. Guess what he did? What he did, Pastor Yu? I did it. It is finished. I redeemed them. Not only for your past, but he also put into your account anything you might need in your future. Oh, you're going to fall. Oh, just drive in Lafayette at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You're going to fall. You're going to cuss somebody out. You're going to give a sign that you shouldn't have signed. Going down, you're going to say, Lord, would you please forgive me for that? You're going to say something sharp to your mate, and you're going to have to go back in again and say, baby, I am so sorry. I don't want to talk to you that way. You're not going to be the perfect dad or the perfect mom. You have to go back to your kids sometimes and repent. Please forgive me. I'm not going to be the perfect pastor. There's times I've had to pull some of you aside and said, would you please forgive me? I don't want to be that way. The fall, the creation, the fall, then the redemption. In other words, he put the, when you got born again, and I did, I put the blood of the spotted lamb, applied it to the doorpost of my life. And then I went to the waters of baptism, or the Red Sea. I went through it. But look at me right here. Just because you go through the Red Sea, you don't stop at the Red Sea. You don't get out of it and go, okay, I'm just going to stay here till God comes back. He wants to begin to restore you. Everybody say restore. And restoration is not an instant work. It is a process. It is a journey. And he will take you through a journey to teach you to trust him. He'll take you through some stretching. Faith. Lord, what are we going to do now? He'll give you his word to see if you'll obey it and submit to it. Everybody say submission. Oh, we don't like that word. Submission means where I got my opinion, but the word says something else, and somebody's got to submit. And your willingness to submit and change my mind, I'm going to renew my mind to submit to what God wants me to do, whether I feel like it or not. You aren't hearing me. That is a process. Some of us have been waiting for God to restore some things to us, everything that the enemy's already stolen from us. You've been waiting for him to restore something when God's been waiting for you to start walking through the process. You can't stay on the shore of the Red Sea. Redemption. You got to start walking through the wilderness, learning to trust, hear, obey, put your faith in, have courage, walk through. You got to walk through it. You don't get past, you don't get to go through the Red Sea or under the Red Sea. You got to go through the wilderness. You got to walk through it. Are y'all tracking with me? In fact, let me show you this, because God was taking Israel through redemption, blood, Red Sea, and then he's going to take them through the wilderness. You know how long it took them to get through the wilderness? 40 years, the process, because he was taking them to a promised land, a heaven, if you will, a homeland, their home. And he takes them through the wilderness for 40 years, getting them ready. And you go, why didn't God just take them from Red Sea, redemption, to complete restoration, promised land? Why did he make them travel through 40 years of the process? In fact, I'm going to take you where the scripture says. Watch this. It's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 29 and 30. But I will not drive out the enemies of the promised land in a single year, because the land would become desolate and the wild animals too numerous for you. I love this. Now say it again. I will drive them out before you. I love this part. Until you have what? Increased enough to take possession of the land. What is that process called? That process is called discipleship. You got to be discipled. You got to walk through something to get strong enough to handle what God wants to restore to you. Are you with me? I don't know if y'all can tell it or not, but for about a year, I've been working out. What's funny about that? Can y'all tell? Thank you. I mean, can y'all tell I've been working? Have y'all looked and said, is that a bicep, Pastor Yu? I've never noticed you having a bicep. I believe I see a little. Have y'all noticed my pooch has shrunk a little bit? Now, I still have a pooch, but I prefer the smaller pooch better than the bigger pooch. That's just me. It's just a preference. I prefer the smaller rather than the bigger. Okay, Heidi and I joined, and I see some CrossFit people here, and they were in their last people. We've joined right across here. We joined the CrossFit. And you go there, you pay people money to literally put you through hell is basically it. That's what you do. You pay them money, and then you say, could you just abuse me? And that's what they do. They take my money and then abuse me. And so there's a trainer, and they prepare things for you. They prepare workouts for you. They write on, they at 12 midnight, it comes on a little app. 12:01 comes the next day's workout. And so I go, can I just go and confess some things to y'all? Don't tell anybody I said this, which I know you will. I hate it. I hate every bit of it. I hate every single exercise. There's not even one that I like. There's not even one I kind of like. I don't like any of them. Heidi was like, oh, we're rowing today. I like rowing. I go, I hate rowing. And then the next day she said, oh, we're going to do these burpees today. I'm like, oh, I hate burpees. I don't even want to know anymore. Don't even tell me what the workout, just tell me what shoes I need. Are we lifting weights? Are we running cardio? Is it cardio or weightlifting? That's all I need to know, because that means what kind of shoes I need to wear. That's all I care about. And then we get there, and there's a whiteboard where they write it all out, what you're going to do today. And every time I walk in there, I go, oh, crud. I hate this class. I hate this class. I hate those. I hate those. I hate those. And I hate those. And then they go, okay, well, good, because that's one round, and we're going to do 5 rounds today. And then the whole time they're there, they're going, come on, Eugene, you can do it. You know, you got to get better on your squats. You got to get your position right. No, you need to go deeper. No, you need to do more. You need to do it faster. And the whole time they're just, how many of y'all with me? Are y'all tracking with me? And then they put little tidbits up there like, okay, class, now listen, we want to challenge everybody. No snacking this week. I go, no, y'all are way too deep. I'm snacking. This is the reason why I'm working out, so I can snack. It's a process. This is what happened. I mean, there's times I'm out outside going, I've never thrown up. But there have been several times I'm outside going, and it's right here. It's just like, let me out, let me out, let me out, let me out. I'm going, hold, it's brutal. And then you get in your car, and I drive home, and we got about a 20-minute drive or whatever to get to my house. About halfway, I finally stop sweating, AC up high. I finally start, and my breath comes down to normal. And then I go, that was good. That was good. I'm glad I went. You know what? That class ain't that bad. All right, I like it. It's good. Until 12:01. And then I hate it all over again. And we just do that. What's happening? I'm being restored. I'm being restored. Pastor Jacob asked me the other day, how are you feeling physically? I said, I feel better than I felt in 20 years. What's happening to my body? It's being restored. That's a process. That's me getting discipled, getting this word in me, and submitting to it even when I didn't like it. I don't want to do that. My flesh wants to do what my flesh wants to do. My flesh wants to please me. It wants to feed me. But my spirit man's going, no. Because I'm preparing you for something. Listen, God wants to restore everything. Some of you have been waiting on the seashore of the Red Sea, redemption, wanting God to restore things to you, do things for you. And he said, that ain't how it works, baby. You got to start getting in word, get discipled, and as you get discipled, you start growing, and as you start growing, I'll restore to you what you can handle, because what my future is for you, you can't handle it right now till you get stronger so that you can have it all. But God, are y'all with me? Oh, I've sat with too many couples before and going, I just want my marriage to be restored. Sir, you're asking the wrong question. You need to be asking what needs to happen in me so that my wife could even see that restoration and reconciliation would even be possible. Because there's something in you that has to change in order for God to restore this. It's called growth. And growth usually only comes when you go through the resistance. That's push-ups, by the way. Are y'all with me? You're going to start hearing in the next couple of weeks this little gold book. You're going to hear a lot about this. I'm going to say the gold book. Have you gone through the gold book? It's just a book. It's just a tool. It's just a discipleship tool. You know what it is? It's the trainer with the whiteboard going, okay, class, here's what we're doing. We're doing this workout. And you're going to go, I hate that workout. I hate that workout. To get the word in you. You're watching. Y'all got a minute? We're watching this. We're watching the world before us blow back and forth by whatever wind is being blown. You know what's sad? Is I'm watching Christians being blown back and forth by what they're watching on TV because their roots haven't gone deep enough in the Word. And if their roots were deeper in the Word, they'd be like a tree planted by the streams of living water who yields fruit in its season. And it doesn't matter what season it is, its leaves never wither, and it continues to produce fruit even though the wind is blowing back and forth in our culture. And so I'm going to ask you, have you got a gold book? We're gonna be starting some groups in the next couple weeks. We'll start announcing. Did you get in a group? Are you getting discipled? Are you getting discipled? Because God wants to restore to you. He is a restorer. And by the way, his restoration is never back to its original intent. It's always better than it ever was before. He never leaves something, I'm just going to get it back to its original. No, no, he always makes it better. Until we walk with God, walk through the process by going, I need to get discipled. I need to be discipled. And then you're going to get discipled. I'm going to tell you your future. And then you're going to turn around and you're going to start discipling some others. And until you start discipling some others, that's part of the process too. You know that? Not just you getting it, but then you turning around and giving it to somebody else. And when you turn around and start giving to somebody else, you're going to see your stupid, sly, foxy self in them the same way you used to be. Are you tracking with me? Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. It's time. Say it's time. It's time. It's time. God will prosper you. God will restore to you to the same level that you're committed to grow and be discipled. Did you hear me? You grow more, he'll restore more. You grow more, he'll restore more. You grow more, he'll restore more. And you go, Pastor, you, but what about when I get to the end of my life and I didn't reconcile with this, or I didn't. Listen, when we all get to heaven, everything will be completed then. But until then, we'll always be in this process. Look, I've met folks who've been born again 25 years and they're still on year two of Christianity. It's like going through second grade 25 years in a row. Just keep repeating the same class over and over. It's time that we begin to move the process. Y'all receive this word? Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. I want to pray with you and for you because I know there's someone here that needs to be redeemed. Today, as I was even talking about the fall, you said, that's where I'm at. I need redemption. I need to be redeemed. All of us have sinned and fallen short of this perfect standard that God laid out for us. None of us could keep it. And it just shows our need for a Savior. He came to redeem you, to buy you back, to give you a do-over. The scripture would call it being born again. This is not about being good or being bad. It's about being lost or being found. And today he's here. He loves you. The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. You know the things you've done. And he'll forgive you of all of them. All you have to do is A, admit it. B, believe that Christ came to be that sin bearer, as I spoke about today. And C, confess him as Lord and Savior. If that's you today, I want to pray with you. Would you just lift your hand up all over this room? Say, Pastor G, I'm ready. I need to be redeemed. Hold it up high. Thank you. I see your hands going up all over the room. Thank you. I don't know, 10, 12 hands. Congregation, let's pray with each one of these. Would you just cry out? Go, God, save me. Forgive me of my sin. I've fallen short of your perfect standard. And I need forgiveness today. And now, Lord, I repent. Forgive me. Now I'm turning my life over. Say that. I'm turning my life over to you. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. I'm committing to the process to follow you all of my days. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God all the praise for that?